Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, The Bird Show.
If you think about it, history really is just a bunch of hot gossip. Now, of course, we all think it's boring because we probably had a teacher that ruined it for us in ninth grade high school class. But essentially, when you think about history, it is just passing on tales of things that people did, salacious news that would have been major headlines back in the day. So this week for ye old gossip, we're talking about how Cleopatra's Pandora's box brought down the entire Roman Empire. So our girl Cleo, she wasn't just a queen. She was a political mastermind who used her tempter skills to single-handedly flirt the Roman Empire into absolute chaos. You might have had a relationship that was so messy it took down a friend group, but to get on Cleo's level, you'd need to homie hop into taking down an entire civilization. So let's transport ourselves to ancient Egypt. The Egyptians were a lot like the Targaryens from Game of Thrones in the sense that they were down with marrying within the family. So Cleopatra...
Got to keep that bloodline pure, baby.
Yeah, you do. So Cleopatra, she's 18, and she's married to her younger brother, Ptolemy. Ooh. And together... they rule Egypt. At the time, Rome was kind of a big deal, and the big guy in charge is none other than some dude you might have heard of named Julius Caesar.
Love his salads.
So Cleopatra.
No, you didn't.
Take it back.
So Cleopatra, she starts hearing about Julius and is like, ooh, that's some big pyramid energy.
BPE.
And she goes to her brother Ptolemy and she's like, we should get cool with him. And Ptolemy is like, we are so much better than Caesar salad over there. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. So obviously Cleo gets a little upset by this. Meanwhile, her 11-year-old sister, Arsinoe, is in Ptolemy's ear like, you're so right. Why would we want to mess with Rome? I mean, what's so good about Italy besides that unlimited soup, salad, and breadsticks deal they got going on? Cleo's not right in the head. Let's get rid of her. So they...
Wait, her 11-year-old sister is
yes.
trying to, like... plan an assassination.
And you thought your puberty hormones were bad. So they banish Cleopatra and Arsinoe becomes queen. And that sounds like a big bummer until Cleo finds out that her man's Julius is riding through town.
Hey.
So she decides to walk like an Egyptian right into his bedroom and get down to business. Did this woman roll in wearing the best Egyptian silks and whatnot to seduce him? Absolutely not, because Victoria's Secret back in those days was yarn. She was delivered to his room wrapped in a rug, because what turns a man on more than home decor? Julius Caesar loved a lamp. I love lamp. All right, so let's just say Jules got a lot more than rug burn that night.
Oh, wow. Hey,
yo.
You could say he opened Pandora's box. And the contents of said box were so good, they formed an affair. And he makes her queen of Egypt again, and she gives birth to his son, Caesarion. Which, yes, sounds like they named him after the surgical birthing procedure, but that's not the case. Caesarion literally translates to Little Caesar, because he came out the womb like a true Italian. Legend has it, his first words were, pizza, pizza.
I can't with you right now.
Oh, my God.
So the Roman Senate, not happy about this. Mm-hmm. They were all like,
It's why should Caesar get to stomp around like a giant while the rest of us try not to get smushed under his big feet? What's so great about Caesar? Brutus is just as cute as Caesar. Okay, Brutus is just as smart as Caesar. People totally like Brutus just as much as they like Caesar. And when did it become okay for one person to be the boss of everybody, huh? Because that's not what Rome is about. We should totally just stab Caesar!
And they do. 23 times, in fact.
At two, Brutus.
So Cleo is obviously bummed, but not too bummed, because then she gets a new man, Mark Antony. Ooh, lover boy Mark Antony. If Cleopatra had an ancient Egypt fan club, Mark Antony would have been the president. But let's circle back real quick to Arsinoe, who has since been exiled to a temple in Ephesus. And Arsinoe is like, you know what? This isn't too bad. I'm just going to lay low here and not get murdered. But Cleopatra ain't forget about how her sister treated her. So Cleo and Mark Antony are basically like Cardi B and Offset. They are ride or die for each other, but they're also super toxic. Because Cleo is like, hey, Mark Antony, can you do me a favor and, you know, assassinate my sister? And Mark Antony, the lover boy that he is, goes, of course, my love. And then bam! Arsinoe is taken out right there on the steps of the temple that she had been banished to. So clearly the man is whipped, and Rome being... Rome being run, he killed her sister.
Yeah.
Maybe even physically whipped, if you know what I mean. And Rome being run by a bunch of alpha male bros are like, dude, this is totally beta behavior. Your wench belongs in the kitchen, not the throne room. We're shutting this down. And what do men do instead of simply talking about how they feel? They go to war. Mm. So this guy named Octavian declares war on Mark Antony, and everything starts going to crap. And by everything going to crap, I mean the Roman Empire starts to fall. And this being ancient Egypt's most toxic relationship, Mark Antony and Cleopatra go full Romeo and Juliet. Mark Antony gets so dramatic that just for attention, he decides to fake his own death just to see how Cleopatra would react. And then she hears that he's dead, and she's like, oh no. And then she decides to take her own life. And then he's like, wait, no, just kidding. Don't kill yourself. You're so sexy. And he's like, I'm alive. But then it's too late because she already passed away. And then he allegedly ends his life with a snake bite. Now, I know Cleopatra kind of gets a bad rap for all of this. People think she's a little bit of a slooty, sloot, sloot. But let's be real. She didn't force them to abandon Rome to make dumb political moves. She just strongly suggested it while looking amazing. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's political strategy. So,
that's what you did.
In conclusion, Cleopatra wasn't just a queen. She was a walking empire-destroying femme fatale. Some women burn sage to cleanse negative energy. Cleopatra burned entire dynasties. She saw Rome and said, I can fix him. But instead, she broke them. Thank you, and watch out for the Cleopatras in your life. They might not topple Rome, but they will ruin your credit score. Good night.
That might be your best one yet.
You know, I'm inclined to agree with you.
I'm enthralled. And, you know, it's stuff we learned in high school. For some reason, it didn't stick. But that delivery, oh, that's going to stick.
Uh-huh. If this radio thing doesn't work out, maybe I'll just become a history teacher.
I think you should.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Bird Show.
Mo, I know you discussed this on your podcast recently. I have never heard this phrase. Don't even know what it is. So I'm looking forward to you explaining. What is hope fatigue, and why are young adult why are young adults experiencing it?
So, yeah, I thought this was interesting because I'd actually heard some people on a different podcast having a conversation about it. And what they saw as what they believed hope fatigue to be and what it actually is was interesting to me. So I had to do some digging to figure out exactly what hope fatigue is. And what it is it refers to being so worried and anxious about issues beyond your control that you begin to feel apathy and pessimism. And a New York psychotherapist named Leslie Alderman, so she coined the phrase hope fatigue, and it's basically saying that today young adults have a lot on their plates. Personal challenges, academic pressures, work conflicts, relationship issues, and just the ongoing work of adulting in general and taking on the weight of a larger world today has caused 45% or more of a young adults to feel hope fatigue, where you don't have anything to look forward to. You don't feel that sense of excitement about much of anything in the future. And when they went deeper into the conversation, a lot of it really is due to the constant influx of information that keeps you glued to these like phones and the devastating news that's happening all over the world constantly. And before you know it, you're really more focused on that than any of the positive things that are going on or the positive things that you may have to look forward to.
I was about to say, because I was thinking in my head, we are inundated with negative messages constantly, whether that be just the news cycle and the headlines or just commentary on social media. So I could see how that would take a toll on your psyche and create hope fatigue.
So they started having a conversation that was interesting to me that I thought we could have, because they started asking each other as adults, right? Like, what do you have in your life right now that you could consider something that would give you cause to be optimistic about the future? And when they went around the room, what was interesting to me is literally all the adults in the room who had kids went directly to their kids. I'm hopeful for my kids, right? I'm hopeful for the future of my, which is great, right? She said, that's awesome. But what if you removed your kids, right? Like, what if you solely had to focus on you and something that you have going on? What gives you hope in your life about the future? And I was just shocked at how many adults sat there like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they couldn't answer the question.
Well, it's funny because you said, when you first asked the question, the first place my head went was my son, Jimmy.
Right.
So now I have to remove that. And I'm like, what makes me hopeful for the future for myself?
For yourself.
Or for like society?
Both. Both. Just anything that you feel gives you that feeling of wanting to be motivated and inspired about your now or your future. What do you have hope in? But again, everybody goes to kids, right? And the moment you say, nope, take the kids out.
Okay.
Everybody's stuck.
But that's why did I carry him for 9 months? I can't use him for stuff like this.
That's a good point.
All right. Well, Abby, let's start with you.
Okay. Because I don't have kids to begin with. So I already had to go straight to myself. I'm the only one I got to rely on. This is tough for me because I think up until this point in my life, I've always associated hope with my religion. As someone who's a Christian my whole life, for me, anytime I needed to put any kind of optimism or hope or just belief that things will get better or things are going to think there's always a purpose for your pain, I always associated that with there is a plan. Somebody is in control. Everything works out the way it's supposed to work out. Everything up until my life has worked out up until now. So why should I believe any different? And I think as I start to lose hope in that, I sort of have lost hope in life, period. So I'll be honest with you. I think I'm right there with that group that was studied where I kind of don't know. Like, what's sad and what's scary is like the only hope you have is in yourself. Mm. And that makes me feel very powerless.
Mm.
For me, as far as what I'm hopeful for in the future, I've accepted the fact that I can't change the world, but I can change my little part of the world or try to make it a better place. And that starts with, and I know I'm going to bring the kid in, but let me bring the kid in and then I'll move
outside. Cheating.
I know I'm cheating, but let me bring my kid in. So I've been thinking a lot about the type of human I'm raising and the type of boy I'm raising and the type of man I'm raising, or however he chooses to identify as he gets older. And I want to create a person that heals and does not harm. And so I see that as hope in raising a good human to leave the world a better place than he found it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one focus. And then as far as my own personal hope, again, I think it's fruitless to put so much pressure on yourself that you're going to change the world. And for all of us, if we just focused on our community and our, like, even if it's just like in your immediate surroundings, just trying to make it a better place than you found it. So for myself, and just trying to be as altruistic as possible. And I, as far as hope, I see a lot of hope in the medical community and trying to find cures. And that's where I choose. That's where I choose to put my focus and my hope.
That makes sense. And it's interesting because, Abby, like you brought up the dynamic of not having kids, right? And so our first thought is, well, it has to be about us. And for me, I saw that as like I didn't have that out of where all my friends who have kids. It was like that's where their hope goes, which makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. Right. But when you don't have kids, then where does it go? Like you don't have that. And so what I read was one of the key factors to trying to find hope beyond is your kids is just focus on what you can control, which I believe you pretty much mentioned, Chris. Like you can't, things you can't control, that's what bogs us down because there's nothing you can do about it. So for me, it just became like if you can find a way to evolve every day, right, become a little better of a person, of a human being every day, then I feel like that benefits everybody around me who needs me to be a better human being, whether it's my lady, my family, myself, whomever. And outside of that, I really didn't have a deeper answer because I think I'm struggling too, like a lot of other adults in that area. But I think if you become better every day, you do the best you can every day, I hope in the end that will make for improvement.
I mean, that's all we can do.
That's all you can do.
Well, I mean, if you said that you hope for the future that things are going to get better, at least you got some hope somewhere.
I found a little
grape in the bottom of that hope barrel, but we're going to get some.
Hey. The Burt Show.
Rebecca, producer Rebecca's in here to test our movie knowledge, and I have a sneaking suspicion. No offense, Mo. No offense, Abby. We're going to suck at this.
No, I have faith in you guys because I have pulled, like, the most popular movies ever. Like, these are the big blockbusters, like, you guys know. For sure.
Okay, so what game did you steal from TikTok that we're going to play today?
So I'm ripping this game from @SeanCyclopedia off of TikTok. You guys have Letterboxd accounts?
No.
What is a Letterboxd?
So Letterboxd is like the premier social media site for cinephiles like me, where people rate, review, and log all the movies that they see. But I wouldn't go there for like a in-depth review. It's more like people leave one-liners and like joke reviews. Like the top review for Snow White is this what a lobotomy feels like?
Oh. so you go just to have fun in the comments.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I have pulled one-line meme reviews for the most popular movies on Letterboxd. I want you guys to guess what these movies are based on three reviews. Each one will give you a better hint.
Okay.
Ready for the first movie?
Yes.
I think so.
All right. I watched this for the first time as God intended on two VHS tapes.
What is Titanic?
Yes.
Yes.
What?
Wait, oh what? Okay. Yes. Yes.
Two VHS tapes?
Yes, because it was so long.
So long. Okay.
You couldn't
That's
watch
funny.
It on one.
That makes sense.
Wow, you ate
Good
that.
Guess.
I did.
Damn.
Nom, 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 nom. Sorry.
Okay, shout out to the other two reviews. Aesthetically, Jack is a lesbian. Mm, okay. And tag yourself, I'm the iceberg.
Okay.
All right. Second movie. Uncle is murdered for attempting to end segregation.
What?
Uncle
for attempting to.
I'm going to go to the second. Shakespeare's Hamlet for kids.
I'm assuming it's a kid movie. I can't help.
All right, go again.
Okay, here's the last one.
Yeah.
How did they make that hyena look like Whoopi Goldberg?
Beep, beep, boop, beep, boop. Is it the Lion King?
Yes. What was the first review again?
Uncle is murdered for attempting to end segregation.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. That's it.
I'll be honest, I was scared to guess anything.
I was
like, I didn't get this one wrong.
No, the two white women in the corner of the room were like, yeah, no, we're not playing.
I just kept side-eyeing Mo. I was like, you going to say anything?
Nope.
Okay. Great movie for people who just realized that women deserve rights, too.
Great movie for people who realize women deserve rights, too.
Beep, beep. Mm-hmm. Barbie?
Yes.
Yay!
Yes.
What are the other two?
When I say I hate men, just know that Alan is the exception. And this would have been rated R if they had based it on how I play with my dolls. Okay. 40% of the budget went to Drugstore Alabaster Foundation.
Beep, beep. Twilight.
Yes! You guys are good at this. All right. The baseball scene changed my life. And Robert Pattinson wasn't acting. That's just how he is. All right. I think this one might be a little trickier.
Okay.
Historians will say they were just good friends.
Oh.
Brokeback Mountain.
No, that's a good guess, though. That's a really good guess. Right. Okay. Right.
Second one.
I would be so mad if two people hijacked the dance floor at my prom just to do some weird interpretive dance.
Is that the one with Jenna Ortega?
No.
Okay.
All right. Here's the final one.
No.
Okay. I'm seated for part two. The casting crew are scared and asking me to leave because it's not even out yet. But
beep,
I'm simply
beep, beep. Wicked.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I was about to say, like, it has to be about a female friendship. I was like, I got that for the first one.
Good job. All right. Are we sure her dog was allowed in all those spaces?
Beep, beep. Legally Blonde.
Yeah.
Yo, this is your game. This is you.
You're really good at this.
I'm like having a good time.
You need to join Letterboxd today.
There must be some kind of weird like software update I got.
Yeah, Your Honor, she's just a girl. All right, this movie introduced me to Australia.
I got nothing.
No?
Go again.
All right. So this basically was remade into Taken, right?
Crocodile Dundee?
No.
Australia? Mm-hmm. I don't know any movies besides Anyone But You that was based in Australia.
All right. Last. This one's the clincher. The Willem Dafoe fish had no right being that hot.
Oh, wait. Is this...
Beep, beep. Finding Nemo.
Yes.
Okay. Were they... Oh,
that's funny.
Was Nemo in Australia?
Yeah, they were in Australia. Huh. P. Sherman 42, Wallaby Way, Sydney. Duh.
How could we forget?
Okay, this is my last one.
Okay.
She Matched His Freak, the movie.
Beep, beep. She's the Man?
No. Love that movie.
Hey. Am I gonna match my freak? What? Am I gonna match my freak? Come on. I'm sorry.
Beep, beep. 50 Shades of Grey.
No. I have seen the face of God, and he is green.
Shrek?
It's Shrek.
Oh, because Fiona did match his freak when she changed into an ogre.
Yes, they matched each other's freaks.
So cute. That's
funny. That game.
Me too.
That was fun. All right, so Jackson, really quick, tell us about the 2025 Pokemon Regional Championship that apparently is being hosted in Atlanta coming up soon.
Yes, as your resident Pokemon correspondent for the Perch Show, I'd be happy to talk about this.
So yeah, I came across this and I sent it to Jackson. I was like, do you know anything about this? Because it seems like it's going to be a big deal. And he was like, well, this is the video game or a game and not so much like the card, because you're a card collector.
Yes.
Not so much a game player.
Exactly. I fall under the niche of collecting, whereas a lot of people like play competitively, whether it's the video game, the card game itself, and also Pokemon Go, which is just the one that's on your phone. And so this is one of the regional championships where people go and compete across those three events. And as you're competing in these events throughout, what I learned, there's a whole season for this thing. You get gather what they call championship points, and if you have the most points within your region throughout the season, then you get invited to the world championship afterwards. So this is a pretty big deal for people. It's happening in Atlanta from April 11th through the 13th at the Georgia World Congress Center, and apparently it's got a $10,000 reward if you win the trading card game, so that's pretty cool. But if you're into that, that's definitely something that's worth checking out.
$10,000 feels low considering some of these trading cards are worth like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Why would I go to this whole competition when I could just simply go on eBay.
So that's for the regional, right?
Yes.
Like you, okay, so if you win the regional, that means you get to go on to the Pokemon World Championships. I don't know where those are being held, but I just got a quick overview of the cash prizes there. First place is typically $30,000 to $50,000.
Wow. Okay.
Then second, 20 to 30. Third, fourth, 15 to 20. Fifth through eighth, 10 to 15. So I mean, I'm not going to win it.
Neither of them slides.
And I saw something cool too, where if you win over $5,000, you can actually put that towards a scholarship to help pay for your tuition as well. So they offer that as like sort of an incentive for, you know, anyone that's younger to, when they're competing and stuff like this.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
All right, it's the Bert Show.
Hey, the Bert Show.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Oh, this post went viral for all the wrong and right reasons. So somebody asked, what did a wedding guest do that made you regret inviting them? And it actually comes from the account Red Canyon, Canyon Events, excuse me. And it just blew up and the comments are impeccable. Do we have a little Canyon and D? Oh, let's roll some Canyon and D for our wedding comments, please. It's one of the things I learned how to play. All right, so the best comments from the comment section. And again, they asked, what's something a guest did that made you immediately regret inviting them? The number one liked comment, getting engaged at my wedding.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
That happens?
Yeah, it happens. It's one thing if you check with the bride and the bride's in on it, but if you do a surprise proposal at somebody else's wedding, you're trash.
I wonder if most guys don't plan on proposing at the wedding, but they start to get just hit that emotional rock bottom of like, oh my God, I wish this was me right now. And they just pull it out. Put a lid on it.
Put a lid on it.
It's not your day.
Next comment. I unknowingly invited my husband's ex-girlfriend to the wedding. I was led to believe she was a family friend. At the reception, my husband and his ex-girlfriend were dancing together.
No.
Oh, my God.
My mother-in-law, who was standing next to me, looked at them, started crying, and said, it should have been him and her that got married today.
Oh.
We were divorced 11 months and 3 weeks later. I couldn't hold out for the first anniversary.
Oh, my God.
I'm shocked it took that long.
I know, right?
I wonder if then he ended up leaving her for the ex-girlfriend.
I don't know. She said I couldn't hold out for the first anniversary. So it sounded like she was the one that instigated the divorce, but I don't know if it's because he rekindled. Maybe you can find this comment. I'll send you the link.
Yeah.
Breakdown podcast.
I know. This is literally where my mind went.
All right. Another one of the most liked comments, brought their kids when kids weren't invited.
Mm-mm.
Huge no-no. Then this one, the person she regrets inviting because of how they acted, her in-laws. You'll see a common theme here, right?
Mm.
My in-laws, they made a huge donation to the church to quote unquote surprise everyone by renewing their vows right before hubby and I took our vows.
Are you kidding?
What?
And they tipped the waiters to feed their side of the family first at the reception and brought an anniversary cake to be cut and served before our cake. They even had their first dance before ours. We haven't spoken to them since.
Attention really turned some adults into children, man. That is so childish to do to somebody.
It's just pure selfishness. You had your day. Let them have theirs.
Okay, somebody else wrote, not my wedding, but a friend's mother-in-law sang a song about being lonely because she lost her son.
Oh, no.
At the wedding?
She sang a song about how lonely she is because she has lost her son because he is marrying another woman.
Let's make it about me.
My mother-in-law asked the minister not to marry us the day of the wedding. She told every guest that walked in how much she hated me. Just to let you all know, we were married for 23 years.
Oh, my God.
My mother-in-law.
Real question. Why is it never the father-in-law? Like, what?
We be chilling. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to tell
we
you.
We want none of it.
There's this weird dynamic between mothers and sons that just.
I'm aware.
It's weird. My mother-in-law telling everyone and anyone that I stole her soulmate and I married her soulmate.
Oh, my God.
Why? Like, why are you such a toxic individual?
Freud is typing.
When my ex-husband and I got married, again, the question was, what wedding guests did you immediately regret inviting because of the stunt they pulled at your wedding? When my ex-husband and I got married, a woman cut her kid a piece of our wedding cake. Mm-mm. We had not cut it or taken any pics with it or anything. No one could believe it.
Oh, are you kidding?
I would be furious.
And those things are expensive.
Yes, very.
They're stealing a moment. Like, that's a big deal. Uh-huh. I remember every wedding I've ever been to, like, they bring everyone around. They're like, watch them eat a sweet treat. Like, it's a big deal.
That, and also the fact that they're so expensive, and they're so expensive that we actually, I wanted, you know, you want tears because, you know, it looks nice when it's big. That's what she's in. But one of my tears was styrofoam because I wasn't going to pay for all that. Like, pro tip. All right, and then the last one for you. Didn't invite them, but turns out the FBI was at my wedding undercover.
Are you kidding? Oh.
So I went deeper in the comments, and it, like, sure enough, somebody is like, dude, like, why was the FBI at your wedding? And she goes, well, let's just say I had a quote-unquote unique cousin who we always thought was a little different. Turns out he was part of a militia group. Think Waco, Texas kind of group. And the FBI was watching him for 2 years. He was finally arrested 5 months after my wedding, served 22 years in federal prison. We found out lots of things after he was arrested and things were disclosed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's The Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
We've been living in blissful ignorance for the last 90 days, but it is all coming to a head potentially on April 5th. When TikTok is scheduled to be banned again? There is one savior, though. Yeah, because remember they just delayed it to possibly make a sale with another American company.
Right.
So there is one American company that may swoop in to save the day. So Amazon and TikTok have already had a partnership going on where basically you can purchase things off of Amazon directly on the TikTok app. So if I go on and I do my little influencer thing, and I'm like, oh my God, I love this hair tool. This hair tool is the greatest. Look how good my hair looks. You can like go directly from like a link on my profile to go purchase something on Amazon or something like that. So they've already been working together.
So this is different than the TikTok shop. This is like an actual link for Amazon.
It's, I think, like TikTok shop and Amazon are somehow linked. But basically, you can use specific links on your videos that will take you to Amazon. So they've been working in cahoots for a while. But the bigger drama here is the fact that Amazon is like, well, nobody really wants TikTok to get banned, and they need an American company to purchase it to be able to keep it in the United States for everyone to be able to continue to use it. So like, we got a lot of money. Like, Jeff Bezos is one of the richest people of all time. We will purchase TikTok so that it can still operate per normal. But apparently reports are suggesting that Amazon's bid isn't being taken super seriously. So we could end up with another TikTok ban in about 2 days on April 5th when the 90-day extension comes to an end.
Expires.
I know. It's a real big bummer because I love my TikTok. And I think the last time around when this happened, I think we were all kind of like expecting it, but nobody has really been talking about it to where it doesn't feel real. We're just going to wake up on like what, Sunday, and just be like, surprise, this app I spend all my time on is gone.
I always feel bad because everybody loves TikTok so much, and I never use it. So, I mean, I'll post things every once in a while that'll do well. So I'll miss it for that reason if it's ever banned, but I never really got into TikTok.
What?
I don't have TikTok.
Oh my God, you guys, am I going to be the only one upset about this when it goes away on Monday?
No, like, you're gonna see me. I'm coming on Monday. I'm gonna be tweaking. Like, I miss it. I miss it. Like an addict. I don't have it, but I can appreciate those that have made a living off of it, and I can imagine how scary that is to know that that income is just literally just like poof, gone in one day.
Well, it's important to remember, like, for influencers, if that's their full time job is posting on TikTok, is it sort of like getting laid off or fired?
Yeah, for sure.
But it's also kind of like you might not get laid off or fired. So it's, you're kind of in this weird in between of I guess I need to move everyone to Instagram. So I just don't know what people are going to do once TikTok is officially gone. I know we all downloaded Red Note, but that lasted for about 5 seconds. So who knows what the next TikTok will be.
I did not download Red Note.
Album's today years old when I heard Red Note.
Red Note is like the Chinese alternative, which is crazy considering that's the reason TikTok is getting banned, because they're like, the Chinese data is going to take, or the Chinese government's going to take our data. And then we're all like, all right, fine, take it. We just want our algorithm back.
Yeah.
All right, Glenn Powell is saying that timing is everything when it comes to Sydney Sweeney. So if you missed this about a year and a a half ago, they were promoting a new rom-com called Anyone But You Together. And the chemistry during these press junkets was so palpable that people were like, you two obviously need to date. Like, how can you guys just be two actors that have incredible chemistry and are just doing your jobs? Like, you obviously want something more with each other. But Sydney Sweeney at the time was engaged to Jonathan DeVito, who was a producer on the film. And she was like, well, I'm kind of engaged and I'm getting married. But here's the thing. Now the wedding is off and Sydney Sweeney was spotted at Glenn Powell's sister's wedding over the weekend. And now everyone is like, oh, they're obviously getting together. So Glenn Powell was promoting his new sauce brand on the Today Show. Oh. And he was asked about his relationship with Sydney Sweeney and he pretty much shut it down.
The wedding caused a little bit of a stir. Did that surprise you?
You know, I bet your sister timing, was like, timing is everything in this world, isn't it?
Like, dude, I'm getting married. I'm the bride.
Yeah, no, I mean, she and Sid are obviously great friends, and it was a hell of a wedding. You know, the Powells know how to do it right, and so all the people that love her were there.
So he's basically just like, listen, she's our friend. She's friends with my sister. I'm friends with her. There's nothing romantic happening, but I don't believe it. I feel like this is a rom-com waiting to happen where they're going to deny their feelings for the next 6 months. And then all of a sudden, we're going to see some paparazzi photos of them out and about looking very couple-y.
Okay, that's all nice and everything. I am the condiment queen. I love me a good dipping sauce. I need to know about this sauce line.
Oh, yeah. He's launching a new sauce line. There's like mustard and ketchup. It's nothing wildly exciting. I was very confused by this because I follow a bunch of influencers that went to his launch event. And I was like, why is this girl standing next to Glenn Powell with a mustard tube? And it's because he's launching his own line of condiments.
Because he's from Texas. So maybe there's like a Texas twist to it. But yeah. So there's hot honey ketchup. There's classic tomato ketchup. American style barbecue sauce, hot honey barbecue sauce. You got yellow mustard, Dijon mustard. There's mayonnaise. There's spicy mayonnaise.
Get your bag, so Glenn. It is so random, but you know what? You got to do it while you're still popular, Glenn. All right, a new Diddy lawsuit is naming big stars like Beyonce and LeBron James as alleged freak-off witnesses. I'll tell you if there's proof they were actually there on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
Hey, The Burt Show.